What's going on, everyone? Welcome to One Man's Opinion Podcast. I am your host, Noah Gillian. So happy you decided to join in today. It is the 22nd of December, 2021, and we are here today to recap another great week in sports. On today's episode, we are going to be going over the Tuesday night football game between the Eagles and the Washington football team and talk about the playoff implications. We're also going to touch on at the end of the episode about a disrespected player in the NFL. Maybe not this year, but someone who's finally starting to get their flowers that took that participated in the other Tuesday night football game. But before you get started, if you want to follow us on social media, you can find me on Twitter at Noah Gillian. You can find the show's account at One Man's Opinion 17. So without further ado, let's just get right into it. Okay, so the Eagles, Philadelphia Eagles, ended up taking home the win last night in a divisional showdown with the Washington football team. It was a very weird game to start, but by the end, the better team was able to impose their will. I think the story of the game really was the Birds were able to continue their dominant stretch of running, were able to continue their dominance physically on the Washington football team. And, you know, this new style of play, if you will, or, you know, it's been over half the games they've played so far. They've, you know, leaned into this, but, you know, it's really catapulted them right back into the playoff picture. And has the Birds sitting at 7-7 right now, currently in the 8th seed in the NFC playoff standing. So, excuse me, the first team out of the playoffs as of now. You know, we'll talk about the running game now, kind of just getting into some of that here. You know, Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard have been absolutely phenomenal. Once again, dominated on the ground, totaling 200 yards even between the two of them. Miles Sanders had 18 carries for 131 yards, marking his second straight game of over 100 yards rushing. Jordan Howard also had 15 carries for 69 yards. Very nice stat line there. And, you know, I think the reemergence of Miles Sanders has been huge. You know, a lot of people, I guess, maybe have been more doubting him early in the year, and Nick Sirianni definitely wasn't feeding him the ball. But, you know, every time he touched it, he was making big plays after big plays. And, you know, I think they're finally starting to lean back into that. Now that he's healthy, they're actually giving him a decent amount of work there, and he's producing. He's looked phenomenal. He's been busting off some big runs. He's been consistent with his running, you know, pounding it into the back of the line and, you know, getting those hard yards. And, you know, Jordan Howard also playing his role very well as that big bruising back. And, you know, it's been great to see. Nick Sirianni deserves a lot of credit for the turnaround the Eagles have shown this year. I mean, it really wasn't pretty starting off. I'm just going to be completely open and honest with that. It did not start off pretty. Obviously, after beating Atlanta in week one, rattling three straight losses off against playoff teams, I will give you that. But, you know, losing five of your next six games is definitely not ideal. And, you know, with Jalen Hurts being your high rusher in four of those six games, and the other two games, Miles Sanders was your high rusher with 45 and 56. So it wasn't like it was a very prolific rushing attack from your running backs. However, you know, you got to give Nick Sirianni a lot of credit. You know, we banged on him early in the year for some of the things that he was doing. Some of the things he was not doing probably was more of the fault. However, you know, he deserves a lot of credit, pretty much, I think, is my bottom line. Really leaning into the run game, really, you know, doing some things with the motion on offense, really keeping the defense guessing. That was one thing we've been harping on all year. You know, the pre-snap motion, this was something I even talked about when we hired Nick Sirianni. You know, using motions pre-snap, using a bunch of different running backs, you know, not going away from the run when things get bleak. It was very important, at least for me, to see that he did that. I mean, in this game, they went down 10-0 early, after two early turnovers. And we've seen games this year where Sirianni would completely abandon the running game. You know, after an early deficit, we saw that in Las Vegas when the Vegas took a big lead on us and we just completely abandoned the running game. You know, just totally abandoned it. And I thought it was good to see Nick Sirianni really stay with his roots and go from there. And, you know, a lot of people were calling for his head after that Las Vegas Raiders game that dropped us to 2-5. But, you know, since then, we've won 4 of 6 games, doing it pretty convincingly, too, as well. A couple blowout wins, a couple wins over some playoff-caliber teams, and have looked good doing it. You know, have been a lot of positives from this football team. I already mentioned the rushing ability, too. I'll touch on Jalen Hurts here now. Another pretty good game for Jalen Hurts, 20 for 26, 296 through the air. So one of his more prolific passing days of the season so far. You know, outside of two games earlier in the year against Dallas and Kansas City, his third highest passing output so far this year. So he did well there, threw a touchdown, also threw an interception, but for those of you that watched the game, that interception was some BS. I mean, nobody even knew it happened on the field until, I guess, a replay official chimed down and said, "Hey, listen, that was an interception." I mean, I just have never seen anything like that in a football game. Dallas Goedert dropped the ball, and it fell behind him. It hit his heel and bounced up to Landon Collins, and he intercepted it. I mean, it was unbelievable to see that happen live, and it was not Jalen Hurts' fault whatsoever. I mean, you pretty much take that off the board at that point. I mean, he gets the interception because he threw it, but obviously, you know, Dallas Goedert makes that catch, or if he drops it and hits the turf 99.9% of the time, you know, that's not an issue. But, you know, Jalen Hurts looked great through the air, also had 8 carries for 38 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. So, again, another prolific game for him on the ground, over 300 total yards, 3 total touchdowns. And this was best-case scenario for Jalen Hurts. I mean, this was one of his better games he's had this year. I was really, really impressed with what I saw. You know, a lot of people were really banging on Jalen Hurts and really pounding the drum for Gardner Minshew after his, good performance against the Jets. Now, mind you, it was against the Jets, so let's keep that at the forefront of our brain there. But, you know, I love what I'm seeing from Hurts. You know, he's doing great. I think he's earning his spot as the starter next year. I know there's been a lot of rumblings, you know, potentially Deshaun Watson or maybe Russell Wilson potentially being available via trade. Obviously, the Eagles have 3 first-round picks next year. However, I think Jalen Hurts, you just keep him. I mean, he's made enough strides for me that I've at least seen to earn that. And, you know, I mean, the Eagles are winning right now. They're 7-7. It's not like we've had, you know, I mean, we have had some ugly games this year. Let's not sugarcoat it. That Dallas game earlier in the year was ugly. That Las Vegas game earlier in the year was ugly. But, you know, outside of that, the Eagles have been in a lot of these games, even their losses, you know, against San Francisco. It was only 17-11 loss. You know, the Kansas City game was 42-30. You know, the Eagles were a little bit closer than that score indicates. Against Tampa Bay at home, 28-22, they lost. I mean, all those are home games, granted, but, you know, all those against playoff caliber teams, and all 3 of those games, the Eagles very much could have won. Also had the Los Angeles Chargers at home, which they lost 27-24 on a last-second field goal. So that was a game they, very much could have won as well. You know, and then you look at that Giants game, you know, a couple weeks ago, 13-7 loss. You know, obviously, it was a tough podcast we came on and talked about that. Jalen Reagor obviously had some tough drops in that game. But, you know, you're looking at a lot of games that could have very well gone the other way. And, you know, especially, you know, outside of the Las Vegas game and Kansas City game, they've been pretty much competitive in every single game this year. So I think that has a lot to do with Jalen Hurts. Obviously, Sirianni has done a tremendous job this year, but I think Jalen Hurts has done everything the Eagles have asked him to do this year. It's been good that they've been leaning into Jalen Hurts as their engine on offense and not treated him with kid gloves, you know, really given him the ability to check plays. Made another great check last night to a screen to Jalen Reagor. which was phenomenal. You know, Jalen Reagor looked explosive yesterday, 3 for 57. First time he's topped 55 yards since his first game in his NFL career last year. He had one catch for 55 yards, by the way, in that game, and he finally eclipsed 55 yards in the game yesterday. But Jalen Hurts, you know, at the end of the day, he has done everything we've asked for him, and I think he's earned the starting job next year. You know, I think you still have Gardner Minshew under contract next year. That's not something you have to worry about. I mean, you're only paying, I mean, geez, you're not even paying $2.5 million for Jalen Hurts and Gardner Minshew next year. So I think it's something, or no, you're paying just, yeah, $2.5 million next year for those two quarterbacks, both very capable starting quarterbacks in the NFL. So, you know, why blow all that up? You know, the locker room seems to really get behind Jalen Hurts. They seem to really rally around him. And, you know, I think there's a lot more holes on this team than quarterback. I'll just put it that way. And, you know, when you're winning, it solves a lot of problems. Obviously, if they were losing a little bit more games, Jalen Hurts might be looked at a little bit differently, but you got to give him credit. This is a game they should have won. It didn't come out great, but, you know, credit Nick Sirianni, credit Jalen Hurts, and for really turning the thing around and turning this into a dominant win. Yeah, so once again, Jalen Hurts had a great game. I was really impressed with what I saw. The receiving options also, you know, looked pretty good. Obviously, you know, Jalen Hurts thrown 296 yards, a little bit bigger of a pie than he's had in a couple games in the past. You know, we'll touch on Dallas Goedert here for a minute. He has blossomed into an absolute beast. 7 receptions yesterday for 135 yards, and it's not like it was all dink and dunks. You know, a couple deep shots, a couple deep crosses. He has really, really elevated his game since Zach Ertz went to Arizona. And I think this is what a lot of people expected out of Dallas Goedert. Obviously, having Zach Ertz on the field in an Eagles uniform, after all he's done for Philadelphia, he was going to be the tight end one on the team, no matter how good or, you know, how much potential Dallas Goedert had. However, now that Ertz is in Arizona and Dallas Goedert has really, you know, taken that next step, you know, we came on in that podcast and said, don't be surprised if in a couple days they announce an extension for Dallas Goedert. And, you know, what do you know? Dallas Goedert currently under contract, you know, just signed that deal that kicks in 2024, obviously, or 2023, I believe. You know, he's only making $3 million the next couple of years, but then it's going to jump up to more in his price range, which is how he's performing. So, you know, he's looking great. 7 for 135 yesterday, totally dominated the football team's defense. Obviously, they had some issues with COVID, which they didn't have their full complement of weapons. However, not many teams are going to be stopping this guy. And the rapport that he's been showing with Jalen Hurts, you know, he's just a big target. He's athletic. And the thing is, he could have had a much, much bigger day. He had multiple drops in this game, which could have went for 10, 15 plus yards. He could have very easily had over 200 yards in this game. Easily. And I know that's, you know, it might sound weird to say, but he really was a focal point of the offense. And it almost seems like he's taken the reins from Devontae Smith as our number one option on offense. And, you know, when you spend a first, you know, when you spend the 10th overall pick on a guy like Devontae Smith, you know, you want him to be your focal point of the offense. But at the same time, when Dallas Goedert's producing like this, I think it's only going to do good things for a guy like Devontae Smith. You know, 3 for 40 yesterday, had a ridiculous catch on the sideline, which showed you the ability that he has. You know, I think it's going to take some pressure off of Devontae Smith. You know, he doesn't have to be that guy. He doesn't have to be that dominant force on the outside. And who knows, maybe he'll start getting a little bit more single coverage because of the attention going to be paid to Dallas Goedert. And I think that's going to be it's just going to do so much for Jalen Hurts and the offense as a whole as we kind of move into late December, early January. And it's only going to be good news for the Philadelphia Eagles. So I already kind of mentioned Jalen Reagor and Devontae Smith's line. Greg Ward Jr. also had another great catch yesterday. It was a beautiful throw from Jalen Hurts, a little back shoulder throw, and he caught it. Greg Ward has 4 catches on the year. 3 of them are touchdowns, so I thought that was a little interesting stat that I saw the other day, so I wanted to make sure I snuck that one in there. You know, but other than that, you look at it and, you know, Dallas Goedert had a great game. You know, Jalen Reagor, Devontae Smith both looked pretty good. And the running game looked, you know, great. I mean, there's not much else I can really say for this game that, you know, there's not much more positives I can say for this game because the team absolutely looked great yesterday. I mean, let's just look at the stats here. Eagles had 519 total yards yesterday compared to the football team's 237. So they absolutely dominated in total yardage. They had 23 first downs compared to Washington's 14. They were 7 for 13 on third down. They ran 70 plays compared to Washington's 54. They had two sacks. They had some penalties, which were tough, a couple turnovers, which were tough, which I don't like to see, and that's where you could really kind of harp on some negatives in the game. But, you know, especially early on, it really seemed like they were sleepwalking into that game. I mean, coming off the bye, and then they get moved to Tuesday, so they got a lot of time off. It took a little bit to shake off the rust, but, you know, overall, four penalties for 48 yards isn't terrible. You can live with that. You'd like to see cut down a little bit, but it's not something that's going to absolutely derail your day like they have had this season, you know, with 8-9 penalties over 100 yards of penalty yardage. That'll kill your day. But, you know, yesterday, not too bad. The two turnovers were tough. The Jalen Hurts fumble, it was just a typical, you know, trying to extend the play, trying to be superhero, and he got caught from behind, only had the ball in one hand, and it got knocked out. Luckily, it wasn't returned for a touchdown for his sake, but the Eagles, and then he also had the interception. It was fluky, so I'm not going to really harp too much on the interception, but, you know, it did set up the, you know, football team for two scoring drives early in the game. And, you know, after that, they only scored 7 points the rest of the game, and it was in the fourth quarter. So the Eagles defense definitely looked very, very good yesterday. But, you know, there are a couple things to clean up. But at the end of the day, just a great performance from the Philadelphia Eagles, leading them into their matchup this week with the New York Football Giants on a short week, too, an even shorter week than if they played Monday. So I'm going to be interested to see what comes of this game. Wasn't too many injuries from this game. I don't think there was anything too major. Obviously, Andre Dillard and Landon Dickerson both missed this game because of being on the reserve COVID list. So you hope that both of those guys will be back for their game against the New York Football Giants. You know, there's still a chance that Brandon Brooks returns at some point this year. He's been on IR all year with a pectoral injury. You know, there was a report that came out said he's going to remain out through the bye. So maybe, maybe they check out what's going on there and see what's going on. Maybe they get a lot more offensive line reinforcements. Getting some breaking news now here, too, on the podcast. Switching up from the game a little bit into some more breaking news. Nick Sirianni tests positive for COVID-19, enters the protocols. So this is going to be really, really interesting. Really, really, really interesting. It appears that the passing game coordinator, Kevin Petullio, will assume head coaching duties, and the offensive coordinator, Shane Steichen, will call plays on the offense if Sirianni is not able to return Sunday. He's hopeful to return Sunday, is what this article is saying. Tim McManus of ESPN is reporting this. He's going to work remotely all week, and hopefully he can be back by Sunday. And it is a home game, too, so there's no travel involved for the Philadelphia Eagles, which is huge, especially with the COVID protocols. So that's going to be something to monitor. Obviously, I didn't have that in my notes before recording this podcast. You know, I'm looking around with some of the tabs I have up, and boom, Nick Sirianni tests positive for COVID. And it's been interesting, too. The Eagles, kind of going off on a tangent here a little bit, but, you know, the Eagles have been one team that have been very, very good with the COVID protocols, have been very good at keeping, you know, their numbers down in relation to other teams in the league. Obviously, a lot more teams are dealing with some outbreaks, but, you know, they've done a pretty good job with it. However, you know, their head coach now has contracted the virus. excuse me. And we'll see. You know, he's hopeful for Sunday, but we shall see what happens there. So just kind of wrapping up my thoughts on the game. You know, I kind of went on a bunch of different tangents there at the end, but I think we can, you know, all agree that the Eagles pretty much manhandled the football team here. Garrett Gilbert, the Washington football team quarterback, was not ready for prime time. I mean, he looked all right, but 20 for 31, 194 yards. When the football team started in their own territory, it was almost like they had no chance to score. Most of their points came when they started in Eagles territory and, you know, kind of went from there. So not too much really to break down from that aspect of the game. So once again, Eagles 27-17 in this game. And I kind of wanted to wrap up some thoughts on the Eagles in terms of playoff placement and a little bit of talk for the draft next year. So the Eagles, with the win last night, keeping them right in the hunt for the final playoff spot, 7-7 record. They're currently tied with the Vikings, who currently occupy the seventh seed after their win against the Chicago Bears on Monday Night Football. The Minnesota Vikings are also 7-7, obviously. And the tiebreaker for why they're ahead of the Eagles is because they have a better win percentage against common opponents. I think that comes down to the fact that they beat the Los Angeles Chargers, because both of the Vikings and the Eagles both lost to San Francisco. They both beat Carolina. You know, it doesn't make sense because they lost to Detroit. The Eagles beat Detroit. So I'm a little interested to see exactly how they landed on that. I'm not really seeing too much there. I guess they beat Detroit earlier in the year, so maybe that's where they kind of get a little bump there. But needless to say, the Eagles are right there. Minnesota, they have a couple games left on the schedule against the Rams, the Packers, and then the Bears to finish off the year. So, you know, there's, you know, two very, very good teams they play in the next 2 weeks that could very well, you know, derail a season. And obviously they just played Chicago. They tried to give that game to Chicago, by the way. But they play Chicago week 18. So, you know, divisional game's never easy. So I think it's very, you know, plausible that the Vikings have a little bit of trouble down the stretch of the season. Obviously, the Philadelphia Eagles have a pretty light schedule with the Giants coming up this week. And then we travel to Washington to play the football team again. And then we come back home against Dallas, who may or may not have anything to play for by week 18. So we could very well be seeing Cooper Rush, their backup quarterback, come into the link and try to beat the Eagles. So, you know, you're looking at a, you know, pretty easy strength of schedule down the stretch. Now, the New Orleans Saints are also 7-7, currently sitting at the number 9 seed. The Eagles obviously have the tiebreaker. They obviously have the tiebreaker over New Orleans because they beat New Orleans earlier this year. But the New Orleans Saints have 3 games left this year. They play on Monday night this week against the Miami Dolphins, who are currently one of the hottest teams in the league right now, currently having the second longest win streak in the NFL with 6. I mean, they started out, pretty sure they started off 1-7 and have won 6 in a row to bring their record back to 7-7. So they are right there in the thick of things. And then they have Carolina after that and Atlanta. So after Miami, a pretty light schedule the rest of the way. So the Eagles do have to win out, I believe, to make this interesting, to fight for that 7th seed. And who knows? The San Francisco 49ers are currently sitting at the 6th seed right now. They're 8-6, so they're only one game ahead of the Eagles, the Vikings, and the Saints as well. And, you know, they don't have cakewalks either. You know, they go to Tennessee on Thursday night tomorrow to play the Tennessee Titans. They have Houston, obviously, at home. That's going to be probably a W. But then they go to Los Angeles to face the Rams in the last week of the regular season. So, you know, I think there's multiple avenues, let's just say, for the Eagles to potentially sneak into the playoffs here. You know, the Rams currently occupy the 5th seed with a record of 10-4, and the 3 teams above them all are at 10-4 as well. So I don't really think there's a chance that any other teams, you know, slide out of the playoffs. But, you know, you look at it, outside the Atlanta Falcons, the Eagles have a great, you know, strength of schedule left in the season. So we'll see what happens there. But overall, when we're kind of looking at this playoff picture, you know, it's wide open. Eagles hit the over on their win total this year. with the win yesterday. So I think they're doing a lot better than a lot of people thought. And we'll see. You know, this style of play that the Eagles have really leaned into is something that travels. And they're obviously going to have to go on the road in round one of the playoffs if they do make it. So I think the ability to be physical, the ability to run the football, is going to play anywhere. And as of right now, if they were to get the 7 seed, they would be playing the Dallas Cowboys. We obviously saw how they fared in week 3, but I don't really think the Eagles were playing quite their best football at that point, and Dallas was. So we'll see what kind of happens, but you know, there's also the potential for the Eagles to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Arizona Cardinals, maybe even the Rams. Packers are only 1 game ahead of them, too. I think the Eagles would match up well with the Cardinals. It would only be right for the Eagles and Cardinals to play if the Eagles were to make the playoffs after Zach Ertz was traded there. I think that would be kind of a funny little storyline there. But overall, we're not going to harp on it too much. We still got 3 games left, three winnable games left on the schedule. So we shall see how it kind of turns out there. And then I did want to just touch on real quick before we wrapped up our Eagles talk about the draft for next year. We have 3 first-round picks. Carson Wentz played 100% of the snaps on Saturday, which guaranteed the Eagles the Colts' first-round pick. So, excuse me. Great sign for the Eagles there. So they will have 3 first-round picks. Currently right now, unfortunately, Miami has won 6 in a row. So their pick is all the way up to number 11. Now the Eagles, their own pick is at number 12. And the Indianapolis pick is at 23. You know, it was looking really good earlier in the year. Obviously, the Colts were really struggling and Miami was really struggling. Obviously, the Eagles were struggling as well earlier in the year. So it was looking like 3 top 10 picks. However, all 3 of those teams have really, really looked good. All of those 3 teams have at least a 2-game win streak going right now. So both playing very well. I think this is probably going to be how it's going to shape up. I think the Eagles and Dolphins are probably going to be picking somewhere between 11 and 16. And the Colts are going to be somewhere between 19 and 24. I just don't see Miami really sneaking. I just don't really see them sneaking in to the playoffs right now. They are 7-7. However, they're in the 11 seed in the AFC. Now let's count this up. There's 4 teams at 7-7, occupying the 10, 11, 12, and 13 seeds. The Steelers are currently in the 9 spot with a 7-6-1 record. And then you have the Baltimore Ravens, who are 8-6, and they're not even in the playoffs. They occupy the 8th seed. They almost were just the number 1 seed a couple weeks ago. So, in matter of fact, they were the number 1 seed a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, I just don't. And when you look at it, the Bengals, Colts, Chargers, and Bills, all in the playoffs right now. 4, 5, 6, 7 seeds. They're all 8-6. So they're all tied with the Ravens. I just don't really see an avenue for Miami to get into the playoffs. So their pick would end up being outside of, or it would be inside the top 18. You know, who knows, the Eagles, if they make the playoffs, if they make a wild card, their pick would jump probably outside the top 18. So, as I'm looking at it now, I'm kind of looking at the thing. I could, all 3 of them, I believe, are going to probably land in that 15 to 25 range. Just based on how they're playing, strength of schedule. I did want to check out Miami's remaining schedule here. Let's pull that up so we have that and we can see who they got on the schedule. They play New Orleans. We just were talking about that on Monday night. And then they go to Tennessee in week 17 and then host the Patriots in week 18. So that's going to be an interesting schedule the rest of the year. You know, it's not like they've been playing easy teams in this win streak, but they went Houston, win, Baltimore, win, really good win there, but Houston, heh. Then they went New York Jets, win, case in point, Jets. Carolina, they've been struggling. New York Giants, win, they're the Giants. And then the New York Jets again, they're the Jets. And you look at their losses, I mean, they beat New England week 1, which was unbelievable. I don't know how they did, but then they got blown out by Buffalo. They lost to the Raiders. They lost to the Colts. They lost to the Buccaneers. They lost to Jacksonville somehow. That was in London. pretty much a home game for Jacksonville, and then they lost to Atlanta, and then they lost to Buffalo again. So they've been losing to some playoff teams, they've been losing to some bad teams, and, you know, recently they've only been beating really bad teams. I mean, Baltimore was a great win, but, you know, they also lost to Jacksonville, so any given week they could beat anyone, but any given week they could also lose to anyone. You know, the game at the Superdome and then at Tennessee, you know, I don't know. Baltimore, the Baltimore game was at home for the Miami Dolphins, and that was also on a Thursday night, and they really stymied Lamar Jackson that night. Really stymied him. I mean, Baltimore couldn't get anything going. They blitzed the crap out of him, and he didn't know what to do. So it's going to be interesting to see how they perform down the stretch, but I do think they are probably going to end up missing the playoffs based off what we're kind of seeing right now, with especially the strength of the AFC with all those good teams right now. So when we're looking at our picks right here, I probably do think they're going to fall somewhere in the range of 15 to 25. I think the highest pick will probably be that Dolphins pick. Excuse me. That we acquired in a draft day deal last year. And speaking of those picks, I mean, I don't really see a need to address the offense with multiple picks there. Because I think you keep, I mean, we look at the offensive line, we bring most of everybody back. I'm pretty sure Jason Kelce, there's a chance he'll come back next year. But you do have Landon Dickerson, who is who played center in college. So he should be able to man the fort if something like that to happen. Nate Herbig is a restricted free agent next year. He's been the backup center this year, so he could also get some time. He could also get some time at center. Obviously, you'd love Jason Kelce back. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he would easily make the team better. But then again, you know, you still have Lane Johnson under contract. You're going to have Brandon Brooks under contract. You're going to have Andre Dillard under contract. Malalata, Dickerson, Sayamalu. You know, Nate Herbig's a restricted free agent. Jack Driscoll, Osua Opeta, who played last night and looked like an all-pro. Shout out Jeff Stoutland. Sidebar, Jeff Stoutland, he's an unbelievable coach. I mean, no matter who comes into that offensive line, they just perform like an all-pro. And, you know, you credit that to preparation. You credit that to film study. You credit that to scheming. You know, sometimes players are just great players. Case in point, Lane Johnson. You know, he's a great offensive lineman. But when you start to see these rotational guys step in and make impacts, when you start to see a guy like Jordan Mailata, who just started playing football, you know, less than 5 years ago, or 5 years ago, whatever the case may be, and he turns into this potential Pro Bowl left tackle, someone who just signed a big extension for the Eagles. He's going to be making $20 million a year in a couple years. You know, I'd give a lot of credit to Jeff Stoutland, and he is an absolute stud baller. So I just wanted to give a quick shout out to him after, you know, everything he's done. But, you know, I think you really need to take a look at the defense here, because next year you got Darius Slay, you got Avante Maddox under contract, and, you know, Kayvon Wallace, Marcus Epps, Zach McPherson. You know, I'm starting to go down the list here, and they're not sounding like very good names. You know, Avante Maddox is probably going to be our inside corner. You know, our slot corner. We obviously have Darius Slay under contract for two more years, but you're going to need to find safeties. You're going to need to find an outside cornerback. You're going to need to address a linebacker position. I would not be mad going safety, corner, linebacker in the first round and just hitting it hard. You know, they might not be great next year, but then maybe the next year after that. You saw this with Carolina. 2 years ago, they really leaned into the draft. I think every single pick they made was defensive. You saw what the Cowboys did this year. Every single pick they made was defensive. And they got lucky. They hit with Micah Parsons in the first round, and he looks like a defensive player of the year candidate. With three first-round picks, I think you need to lean into the defense, and maybe you find one generational talent and then some rotational starters with your other two picks. You know, maybe you get a bust in there too. Maybe you get two busts. But if you can hit on one of them, most teams only get one first-round pick a year. Most teams don't even have a first-round pick a year. If you can just hit on one at the linebacker position or in the secondary, changes the whole outlook of the defense. You look at the defensive line. You got Fletcher Cox under contract next year. You got Brandon Graham under contract next year. You got Javon Hargrave, Josh Sweat, all under contract next year. Milton Williams under contract next year. Taron Jackson. These guys are big, big contributors. You know, Derek Barnett is a free agent, so we'll see what they kind of do there. I could see them bringing him back in free agency and not addressing the defensive line. You know, then again, Howie Roseman is famous for building through the offensive defensive line. So I could definitely see one or two of those first round picks maybe being an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman. But my goodness, if we could just pick a linebacker in the first round, it would be absolutely amazing. Because while we will have TJ Edwards, Davion Taylor, Sean Bradley, and Alex Singleton's a restricted free agent next year, you know, we're not paying these guys anything. I just don't get it. We need to invest in this position. The best defenses in the league have absolute stud linebackers, and it changes the whole outlook of the defense. I mean, you see the Cowboys. Yeah, I know Trayvon Diggs has 10 interceptions, but Micah Parsons is the engine of that defense now. They have great players on that team, but Micah Parsons has instantly inserted himself into that defense and been an absolute game changer. So with three first-round picks, now you might not get, you know, one of the superstars that go in the top 10, but there is a lot of talent late in the first round that goes. So I'm going to be very interested to see what happens, but I just kind of wanted to get my thoughts out rolling. I wanted to get talking about it because, you know, you're going to have three. You're definitely going to have three now instead of maybe two and an extra second. So, you know, I think you need to lean all in with the defense here because the offense, you know, we talk about it. We've already talked about it on this episode. You got Jalen Hurts. You got Gardner Minshew under contract next year. No need to draft a quarterback. You got Miles Sanders. You got Kenneth Gainwell. You got Boston Scott, a restricted free agent. All three of them more than likely are going to be back. Maybe not Boston Scott. You can draft a running back in the fourth round. There you go. There's your running back room. Maybe bring Jordan Howard back for the veteran minimum. Don't need to worry about running back. Wide receivers. You got Devontae Smith, Jalen Reagor, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Quez Watkins. All back next year. Greg Ward, a restricted free agent. I wouldn't be opposed to taking a wide receiver in the first round. I would not be opposed at all. Just going to put that out there. Tight ends. You got Dallas Goedert. You're paying him a bunch of money. No need to outthink the room there. And then, you know, we already talked about the offensive line, the defensive line. It really, really seems that our needs are linebacker and secondary. So if the Eagles don't go after these positions, I don't know what I'm going to do. And the fact is, I almost expect them not to go after those positions in the first round. I mean, you look at it. Let me pull up the Eagles. So our current draft picks right now, we got three first rounders, and then we have the number 43 overall pick in the second round. You got the number 80th overall in the third round. Then you have one fourth, three fifth rounders, and then two sixth rounders. So, you know, I'm looking on tankathon.com right now. They have a little mock draft going here of our first five picks. Wide receiver, D-line, cornerback, linebacker, edge rusher. Linebacker from Alabama, sign me up. Sign me up. Wide receiver from Alabama, sign me up. Edge rusher from Ohio State, sign me up. Like, you know, cornerback Ahmad Gardner from Cincinnati, apparently he's a stud. He looks like a stud. Regardless, you know, I kind of get a little bit off topic. I mean, they have him as the number three cornerback here. Getting a little bit off topic here, but, you know, I'm saying, like, I wouldn't be opposed to going wide out in the first. Wouldn't be opposed to it at all, but they need to address the secondary, and they need to address the linebacker position. Christian Harris, this guy they have us taken in the second round, is the number three linebacker on their big board here. From Alabama, give me him. Give me Christian Harris all day in the second round. You don't even have to take a linebacker in the first round if this guy's going to be there. But you need to address it in the first two rounds to make this defense take the next step next year and to really have an opportunity to compete for the division crown next year because it's there. It's there. All right. Just went off on a big tangent there about the Eagles draft next year, the Eagles game, playoff scenarios, all that, yada, yada, yada. But I did want to finish up the show here just talking about Matt Stafford for a little bit. This guy, I feel like, doesn't get the respect he deserves here because Matt Stafford is playing some of the best football of his career right now. And, you know, granted, he's on a better team now. Obviously, he's with the best coach he's ever had. He's no longer in Detroit, which is phenomenal. But let's not, like, discredit at this guy. I mean, he is someone who, he's the fastest guy to get to 50,000 passing yards in his career. the youngest guy to get to 50,000 passing yards in his career. Let's just think about that for a second. Like, this guy is an absolute beast, and he doesn't get the credit he deserves. So I wanted to come on and just give him a little credit. I mean, you're looking at a guy, let's just look at it right here. You're looking at a guy in Cooper Kupp who might set the record for receiving yards in a single season. Like, he might set the record for receiving yards. And I know we have an extra game this year. Let me pull up receiving yardage leaders single season. This guy might set it before week 18. And you know who he might break? Calvin Johnson. Guess what his guess who his quarterback was when he set the record? Oh yeah, Matt Stafford. Interesting. Let's give the guy some credit, man. He's about to have the two highest yardage guys in the history of the NFL. Cooper Kupp right now is currently 19th. He has the 19th overall season of yardage. They're through 14 games, and he's already 19th on the all-time single season. Calvin Johnson currently at 1964, more than just about 100 yards more than Julio Jones, who did it in 2015. Cooper Kupp is more than likely going to get right up to Calvin Johnson. And when you talk about it, the top two single-season receiving yardage leaders total both have one thing in common. They're both totally different players. Megatron is 6'12" and catches everything out of the sun, whether he's double, triple, quadruple covered. Cooper Kupp might run the silkiest routes in the league behind Keenan Allen and Stephon Diggs. But they're totally different players, but guess what they have in common? Matt Stafford. Thank you. The dude is an absolute stud. I just needed to come on here and give a little bit of love to my guy here, because what this guy has done has, you know, he played 16 games in 8 straight seasons in Detroit. Got hurt a little bit in 2019, then played 16 games again last year. He's currently on pace to play 17 games this year. The guy doesn't miss time unless he's injured. He took Detroit in that stretch of 16 games where I said he started 8 years in a row, 16 games. He went 10-6, 4-12, 7-9, 11-5, 7-9, 9-7, 9-7, 6-10. In Detroit, with awful teams, he was putting up those records. In a division with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, this was with Chicago, decent, you know, Minnesota, decent, both good teams. And, you know, Matt Stafford has, done his job as a quarterback. He's always put up good numbers. He's always been on the field, available. He's, you know, this guy's got 41 career game-winning drives. I mean, this guy is an absolute beast, and I just wanted to give him some credit, because what he's doing in LA this year is great. Currently, they have a 10-4 record right now. He's got a wide receiver that might set the single season record for receiving yardage in a year. So I just wanted to come on here and give him a little credit, because I'm having discussions with my buddies before the year about Matt Stafford and how he's going to absolutely tear it up in Los Angeles and all this stuff here, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, I'm getting pushback, and I'm just saying, listen, this guy's got a top three arm in the league. He does things that only Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes can maybe do. Josh Allen can maybe do. And that's it. He's on the short list. So I needed to come on here and air that out, because I do think he needs some love. And he's finally getting it now that he's in a big market in Los Angeles and he's winning. So, you know, shout out Matt Stafford. You're doing a great job. And let's keep feeding Cooper Kupp next week, because my fantasy team really needs it. All right, everyone, that's going to wrap it up. Just to put a bow on the show, please hit that subscribe button if you enjoyed what we talked about today. Also, if you enjoyed the podcast as a whole, please leave a 5-star review on the platform you're listening on. It would really mean a lot and help the podcast reach new audiences, and way a lot of the podcast providers really do their, you know, algorithm stuff. The reviews mean a lot. If you want to follow us on social media, check the description below. I hope you all enjoyed it, and I can't wait to see you back here again next time. I am your host, Noah Gillian, but hey, this is just one man's opinion.